RadioInfluence.com.
This is Landry Football on Radio Influence, the only podcast where you can get perspective of what happened on the gridiron through the eyes of a coach, scout, and front office administrator. Now, it's time to step into the film room. Here's Chris Landry.
And welcome into the Thursday, December 14th edition of the Landry Football Podcast on LandryFootball.com. Got some bowl games to preview and get to. We've got the complete bowl previews up on LandryFootball.com, but we're going to touch on the bowl games that are set to get underway this Saturday, and as well as kind of take a look at the NFL schedule this week. I want to remind you that if you're not a member of LandryFootball.com, you should be, folks. And what a better, there's not a better time, I should say, to join us as we have a special holiday discount for you. If you sign up between now, December 31st, we've got almost 70% off for a full year. It's $49.99 for a full year. I'll take you through the remainder of this football season. All of free agency, the draft, all of next football season. So it's the best deal that we have. It's only good through the end of this month. But we also want to get into that. Also remind you that we keep you up to date with all the inside information around the college and NFL scene on LandryFootball.com, as well as all the film breakdowns, all the bowl breakdowns in detail, all the game breakdowns for this weekend. You name it, we do it for you. But we also like to interact. And remind you that if you have a question, you can send it to us at go to LandryFootball.com, send us a question, and we'll answer it for you here. And we're going to address a couple of things related to quarterbacks. We also want to follow up. We've had a good interaction with some fans talking about paying student athletes. And we've had a really good emailer that has put forth some well-thought ideas and questions in relation to Tuesday's podcast how we look at the whole process of paying athletes and the money that's available to it. And he brings up some good points that I want to address for him and for the other listeners out there. And he talks a little bit about the importance of players, and the games wouldn't happen without the players. And that's absolutely true. Of course, they wouldn't happen without the universities that they represent as well. Certainly, I do believe that there needs to be an increase in the stipend. But I think that there's some other things that I neglected to bring up and didn't do a very good job in the last podcast of going into as much detail as I have in the past. So I want to take the time to kind of go over it again and talk about the things that I think could be improved as far as making the student athletes' time on campus more comfortable. I believe that they provide a service and they work for the university. And in addition to their scholarship, I think what they do brings enough attention to the university and enough positive vibe and marketing to the university that it should provide not only a scholarship, which is worth an awful lot, but it should also provide them more money to be able to live comfortably. I don't believe they should be paid and should be paid money for their services, but I think the stipend should be equal. And I also believe, and I've said this before in the past, it was about 3 or 4 years ago, when I've spent some time going over this. And I do believe that for players, the particularly ones that have great marketing abilities with their skills, I do believe that taking a fund that is generated from likeness of players should be put in a fund and split three ways. One, to the school. Without the school, you don't have anything that you're representing. Two, I think it should go into a fund to help student athletes who are struggling with medical issues as a result of being involved with student activity playing. We talk about it a lot at the NFL level, but we don't talk about it enough at the college level. So I think money should be put into a fund there. And I think there is a fund that should be put for the player upon their graduation at the school. And I think that it could be worked to where the longer you stay at the school, the more money you receive. I think coming in for the one-and-done basketball guys or the redshirt sophomores in college football that leave early, you get less money because you didn't stay there longer. I think that's only fair. You stay there full 4 years, you get more money. Money that's put in and invested for you for your future. I think those things are on top of what I mentioned the other day in terms of making sure that all of their clothing and housing needs are very well taken care of. In addition, obviously, to the best nutrition. If we're going to develop these players as coaches, we certainly need to do the best in terms of the nutrition in areas. Now, it's been discussed that programs at the lower level, they don't make money, and that other sports on campus that don't make money, that they're really not as relevant because they don't make money in the capitalistic society. Who cares about paying those students? And what I want to explain, and I don't think is fully understood, is Title IX eliminates that premise. You cannot, by law, not NCAA rules, by law, President Nixon signed it into law, that for every male scholarship you have to have the same amount of women's scholarships. So you got 85 scholarship football players, you're going to have 85 scholarship athletes. You have to have the same amount. That's tough. So you can't eliminate other sports. And by law, you're going to have to provide them similar resources. And it is not as simple as, well, they don't make money. They're not going to get the same travel. Of course, they don't sit there and fly on chartered flights to soccer games. They go on buses. So I'm not talking about that, but you're not going to get around, unless the law changes, that issue. So it is also something that needs to be considered. If you do away with certain things, you're eliminating a lot of scholarships for needy students. And while, as a football guy, I'm concerned myself with football, I do respect and am really pleased that so many student athletes can get on a soccer scholarship or a tennis scholarship or whatever the case may be and get an education. I think that we lose sight of that. I think a lot of it comes down to people wanting, well, this is how they do it in the NFL. This is not the NFL. It shouldn't be the NFL. You shouldn't do it like the NFL. The NFL shouldn't do it like college football. That's where I think it's been lost, and I think it is too bad. Now, the other part is, well, coaches make too much money. Hey, the market bears what they make. Should players get a little bit more of it? Well, we'll take some of the coaches' money. Well, guess what? That's not going to happen, because the value of coaches are what they are. The market sets it, and it's not going to change. Could it have changed at an earlier date before the money got out of hand and put some of the money? Well, again, we're talking about issues that could have been corrected, haven't been corrected as it relates to the student athlete. You're not going to see a reduction of salaries in coaches. What you could see and what they need what we need to see is better contracts that are negotiated by athletic directors, so that we don't have these huge buyouts. But the coaches have the leverage. And, you know, our emailer Andy goes into details about you can take, you know, percentage of the coach's money and put it towards other areas. Of course you could do that. Of course. Is that going to happen? No. you know, would some coaches be willing to give up some of their money for that? Perhaps. I don't know. But the reality is, until we fix a system where we improve, that there's enough money going around to pay the coaches and to do better by the student athletes by increasing their stipend. There's not enough money to go out and out play players and have to play everybody. And again, by law, what the law says is what you do for the male athlete, you have to do for the female athlete. So by law, you can't do something for a student athlete in football in terms of benefits without doing it for the female athlete. That's where I think people are missing it. And that's where there's not enough money. There's enough money generated in football, for example, to pay the football players more money. There is enough money to do that. There's not enough money to pay the football players and fund all the other sports on campus. There's not enough money for that. Okay, there's simply not. If you study the budgets of athletic departments, there's only about 18 to 20 every year that make a profit. Some of them a good, healthy profit. I think I put something up on LandryFootball.com recently where this past year we had more than that. And we had quite a bit of them that made a good bit of money. So it's getting better. And I think this calendar year, we won't know until all the money is for 2017. I think we're getting close to maybe, you know, as much as 30 programs that are making money. But it is improving. But what you do for the football player, legally, you're going to have to do for the athlete that doesn't make money. And that's where, if you want to call it socialism, you want to call it whatever you want to call it, it is not as simple as just saying, well, we'll just go ahead and pay the ones that make money. It doesn't work that way, unfortunately. And that is going to always be the issue. And I don't believe that the football player should be paid in terms of this guy is a little bit better. We'll pay him a little bit more money. Folks, that's what pro sports are for. You want that, then, you know, eliminate it. Other countries have club sports in college. They have minor sports leagues. And, you know, if that's the direction, and we've grown up in a country where there's a lot of pride in the university sports and their teams. So, you know, Alabama football and Notre Dame football and Nebraska football, whatever. That's huge for folks. But we have to understand that while people think and people are cynical and say they're not student athletes, there are student athletes. That's the first thing that we need to understand. There is a value of an education. There is a value of a scholarship. Many don't take advantage of it as much as they should. I think that there should be greater emphasis on trying to make it financially beneficial for them to stay in school and finish their degree as long as it takes. The university should pay it. I think that when you give a guy a scholarship, and he's one of the 25 scholarships you give on a given year, 85 total, and he doesn't turn out to be as good a football player or medically has a problem, that he still stays on a academic scholarship. It is fine to eliminate him from the group of 85, but he should have his full tuition, or she should have their full tuition paid for, and all the benefits, as a result. I think that there needs to be more of a commitment to what the educational mission is and the development is. And I think that if we're going to develop athletes, we need to develop with the best nutrition, the best trainers, the best medical staff, the best coaching. And I think we need to make their lives a little bit more comfortable while they're there. But beyond that, no, I'm not a fan of that. I don't believe in, I think there should be funds put in based on need. If you have somebody from an impoverished background, as I said before, they need to go home. They need something else. They simply could go in, fill out a very simple form, and get access to funds they show on a need basis, much like Pell Grants. You can go and get benefits from that. I think that there's different people that need, their needs are different, and I think that should be taken care of and provided for. but ought not pay them so they can go and do this and do that and act like minor league sports. That's not what college athletics are about, in my view. So that's my thoughts on it. All right, I want to get into some questions on college football quarterbacks and NFL quarterbacks as it relates to, you know, how to go about one question is, how do you go about the best way to defend a quarterback? You know, with more coverage, more blitzes, and a lot of it is pertaining to the big matchup with Baker Mayfield in college as it relates to NFL matchups versus a young quarterback versus a veteran quarterback. And there's, of course, no one true fit answer on how to defend a quarterback. It does depend upon the offense, the skill sets of the quarterback. But a rule of thumb is you want to blitz a rookie or a young guy and cover a veteran. You saw the Dolphins the other night do a great job with coverage, and the pressure got home on Tom Brady, and it made it difficult. Blitzing a veteran quarterback is normally not the direction to go, as they are able to get the football out quicker. Young quarterbacks don't like the blitz. They don't recognize it. They get confused by the protection change. Big reason why young quarterbacks get hit a lot, because of lack of recognition. It's like anything else. You don't know how to deal with certain circumstances because you haven't seen it. You know, the best way to explain it, people think it's an intelligence issue. It's not. Imagine if you're out in sales. I don't know, you're selling insurance or some other product. You get asked a bunch of questions. You got to know your product. But, you know, if you've done it for 5-10 years, you've probably been asked more different types of questions about your product, and you have a better way in which to go about answering it because you're more familiar with how to deal with that. You've had more experience in the field, opposed to somebody who's done it only 5 years or 3 years, or maybe in their 6 months of their job, they don't have that experience. It's no different than playing quarterback. The biggest issue is experience, repetition, seeing it. So that's the first thing that you want to understand is the young quarterback hasn't seen as much. So you try to bring a little bit more pressure, and that usually is more effective. But there are exceptions to that. The second question I was sent pertaining to quarterbacks is, what's the best way to make it easier for a young quarterback, an inexperienced quarterback, to adjust? Well, I think there are a number of things that you can do. And there's certainly a difference between a young quarterback in college as opposed to a young quarterback in the NFL. A young quarterback in college, we're seeing the evolution over the years of spread sets, are basically because they're easier to comprehend. The reads are a lot simpler. The ball comes out a lot quicker. And it is less complex in terms of learning. Now, it's a little easier to defend mentally, but when you have built-in advantages, you can take advantage of those situations athletically. And if you're a little bit less talented, you can get a little more of the quicker guys and maybe, you know, different ways to go about being more productive. The NFL, there is more and more of not just an acceptance, but an implementation of some of the spread concepts, the RPO concepts in the pro game. However, understand, for people that ask me a lot, well, why just don't they just do that in the NFL? Very simply, because in the NFL, where you've got the best athletes, it is more strategic at the NFL level because the talent level is more evenly dispersed. And because you're dealing with pro athletes that are preparing all the time and are in the league for longer stretches, it's tougher to get away with a more simplistic approach because you've got to be a little bit more creative. You've got to do a little better job of disguising. You've got to do a little better job of attacking in different areas than you're able to do in college. Where in college, quite frankly, we talk about parity and whatnot. The reality is there's not true parity in college football. If you look at teams that win national championships and compete every year, it's the same type of teams. Now, you see programs that maybe have kind of dipped and come back and what have you, but the reality is the ones with the better resources, it's the better players, they're the ones that are going to be the most competitive. And so, in essence, you kind of start at a level where you're winning almost seven, eight games a year, and you just get paid as a coach to find a way to win the remaining games. And so there is a difference on how you kind of simplify things, but in a generic sense, one of the things that I always try to do is you reduce the feel that he has to read and pay attention to. So you utilize certain routes, certain parts of the field, half field reads, and it makes it a little simpler. You're not reading the entire field. It's a quicker, it's easier for the quarterback. For example, you can line up three receivers in a bunch on one side of the field, say to the right side, where a right-handed quarterback would open up most comfortably. They can line up with a back and a tight end to the left side, giving the quarterback extra protection to his blind side. The three wide receivers then run quick crossing routes, and all the young quarterback has to do, see who comes open first. Not real complex. You got the backside protected with the tight end in the back chipping that way. You're all out to the right if you're a right-handed quarterback. Run a bunch set. Pretty easy. Which one comes open first? Well, again, college, you can do that a little more favorably because you can match up. If you've got three good receivers, chances are you're not going up against three good cover guys in college. One of them's coming open, particularly in a bunch set. You force them to have to play zone, which plays off a little bit, or play man and have to handle the switches. And one of the ways you can do it, you can have an inside receiver run an out and an outside receiver run an in a slant, and you can mix up coverages, and all of a sudden you got a free release guy, and it's a pretty simple pitch and catch. Can you do some of this in the NFL? Of course you can. But to the degree of which you can do it, the amount of which you can do it is much less because you're dealing with bigger, better, faster players, and it takes it's a little bit more complex to be able to pull off on a regular basis. Now, the other question I was asked is, who's easier to teach a new system to? A veteran from another system, this is pertaining in the NFL, or a rookie from college going into the NFL? And it does depend upon the quarterback. Now, some veteran quarterbacks can easily convert terminology into something that he already knows, just called differently. Intelligence is the most important quality for a quarterback, along with accuracy, because a quarterback first has to know where to go with the ball, and then he has to get it there accurately. Okay, that's why the best quarterbacks are good at what they do. Joe Montana, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, you know the ones. Some of them may not have the best physical gifts that you've seen, but they're good at knowing where to go with the football, getting it out on time accurately. You can see certain quarterbacks that come into the league. A Boomer Esiason was a very accurate quarterback. And it was a quick study. Donovan McNabb struggled a little bit. He wasn't as accurate. So I think those are some things to keep in mind in terms of the rookie quarterback can come in if he's played under center, if he knows how to read defenses going back, well, then he's going to have a better chance of having success than somebody who's going to have to learn from playing out of the shotgun. It doesn't mean that they can't do it. It just means that their background is such that they're going to have to learn some different things. If you can learn, and here's the way I always look at it and explain it. If you've got somebody that knows how, that's good working with their hands, somebody that might be a good carpenter, might be good at, fixing things around the house, plumbing or what have you, they probably are the type of people that can learn electrical work. Even though they may know nothing about it, they can learn it. They have natural transferable skills to do plumbing stuff and electrical stuff. They may be better at one thing than the other because they may spend more time on it, but they are good at it. Somebody like me that it just can't do anything like that, it doesn't really matter. I'm not good at any of it. So if a player has transferable skills, great capacity and willingness to learn, you can teach them different systems and styles. If their production is based only on their system and they do not have the transferable skills, that's where you're going to get in trouble. That's where a quarterback is likely going to fail. And then if you do a bad job of teaching and developing them, it's going to be another issue. So those are things to keep in mind in terms of the transition. All right. Got some interesting bowl games this weekend. We start off. Folks, I go into great detail to evaluate all these bowl games for you and hope you enjoy it. It's an opportunity for our members to learn about how these teams played through the course of the year, how they looked. What I also have done is put a film grade ranking of how each conference's players graded this year, not as pro prospects, just as college players. So it gives you an idea. Troy in North Texas play in the Ornell Carriers Bowl. It would give you an idea. This Troy team, both of these teams, North Texas and Troy, really good offenses. Troy was probably a little bit better than Arkansas State against an Arkansas State high-octane offense. Probably favor them a little bit. Had the big win against LSU. Probably a little bit more going for them. But we go into detail about why and perhaps why we think it's going to be a close game and maybe why we think Troy might win the game. But we also tell you, among the players in the Sun Belt Conference, which players from the team in this game, how many Troy players out of the Sun Belt were amongst our top 25, 30 players in the conference? How many North Texas players in Conference USA? We tell you who they are and what classification they are. Gives you a head start on the guy's a draft prospect or not. And oh, by the way, we list all the draft prospects for both of the schools playing in every one of these bowl games. So you can get a list of who they are, what position they play. They're draft eligible. So we give you the draft eligible guys. So you have an opportunity to watch games, enjoy them, and then have a view for next level prospects. But we like Troy a little bit in a high-scoring affair. Some guys to look out for. Brandon Silver is the quarterback. Jordan Chun, the running back for North Texas, Jeffrey Wilson and Mason Fine, the running back and quarterback there. Going to be a good game that's always fun, high scoring. This should be no different. The AutoNation Cure Bowl in Orlando, Florida, Western Kentucky and Georgia State. Excuse me, Western Kentucky throws the football all around. Not much of a running game. It's the quarterback, Mike White, a senior that you want to watch. It's going to be a lot of balls in the air. Connor Manning, the quarterback for Georgia State, can throw it too. Keep an eye out for a little player by the name of Penny Hart. 5'8", 180, receiver return specialist from Georgia State. Going to be a lot of fun, a chance to make some big plays. Should be another high-scoring game. Western Kentucky has the better passing game. They're better at sustaining the football. Georgia State doesn't protect the football well enough. I think unless Western Kentucky turns the football over a bunch, I think they're the better team here. But should be a lot of points and a lot of fun. Las Vegas Bowl, Boise in Oregon. The best matchup in terms of teams that you are most familiar with. People are familiar with Boise and certainly Oregon. Mario Cristobal takes over Oregon. Going to be a big game for him. Obviously, wants to kind of prove that they made the right decision, get off on the right foot. But, folks, guy I want you to focus on is the quarterback at Oregon, Justin Herbert. He is as talented physically as any quarterback in the Pac-12. Yes, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, this guy is really athletic. He's 6'6", 225. and he's a big-time playmaker. He hasn't been healthy, but he's somebody to watch. He's a sophomore, so it's going to be fun to watch next year. You get a chance to watch him in this bowl game against Boise. It's a really good football player. They've got a good running back in Royce Freeman, a really good senior tackle in Tyrell Crosby. So a lot of good players on Oregon. Boise's another team that's very good. Brett Rippin, Mark Rippin's boy. Cedric Wilson, the receiver. Really good players. Alexander Madison, who I think is going to play coming off of an injury. Really good running back. They always give good backs. He's the next one. Got a couple of good defenders in Vander Esch at linebacker and David Moa at defensive tackle. So some good players on both of these teams. I think Oregon's defense and running game probably the difference, but the real difference is going to be Justin Herbert. He could be great, and if he's great, then I think it's going to be a good day for Oregon against a very good Boise State team. Got Colorado State and Marshall in the New Mexico Bowl. Marshall's got a really nice defense. Pretty good offense. They rely on their defense. Good passing game. No running game, though. You're going to see pretty good Marshall team with some good talent. If you're looking at players to look out for, Ryan B. and Chase Hancock on defense, Levi Brown at center, Ryan Juracek at tight end, very good. Colorado State's really good. Good quarterback in Nick Stevens, one of the best receivers in the country in Michael Gallup. This was supposed to be Colorado State's team. They're supposed to win the Mountain West. Didn't happen. But Stevens and Gallup, Dalen Dawkins, very good running back, very good center, and Jake Bennett, all really good players. I like them in this game. I think they're the more talented team. Mike Bobo, I think, gets it done for the CSU Rams. And then Saturday night, we got Middle Tennessee and Arkansas State. I think this Arkansas State offense is going to be a little too much for this Middle Tennessee team. After losing to Troy, the Red Wolves, I think, are going to come out strong. But the Stockstills, son and dad, good combination, will make this game close. It's going to be seeing what Ty Lee can do, the sophomore receiver for MTSU. Khalil Brooks, really good linebacker. But I like this Arkansas State team a little better. I like Justice Hansen, the junior quarterback. I like Warren Wan, the running back. Leonard Bonner's a good tackle. Defensively, like the corner Blaze Taylor of Arkansas State. And I really like Javon Roland Jones of Arkansas State. Probably as good a player as we've had in the Sun Belt Conference this year. Defensive end that's going to make enough plays, I think, to be the difference here. So, kind of like in Arkansas State, Colorado State, Oregon, Western Kentucky, and Troy. Give me Grambling State over NC State in the Air Force Reserve Celebration Bowl, which kicks it off noon Eastern time Saturday. We'll get into the rest of the bowl games. We've got next week's bowl games. We've got games on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We'll get to the Boca Raton, the Frisco, and the Bad Boy Moore's Gasparilla Bowl in St. Petersburg, and we'll get into those games next week. Remember, all the bowl breakdowns on LandryFootball.com, much more in-depth than we have time to get to here. Got some pivotal games in the NFL. It's always pivotal when you get down to cases where you're looking at the standings and so much is at stake. Division games, so huge. But first game I want to talk about a little bit is Saturday night's Chiefs game against the Chargers. And Chiefs rebounded, but when you break down the tape, and remember we break down all the game tape, put all the film room breakdowns on LandryFootball.com, but to surmise, better performance, yes, by Kansas City, really were aided by a bad effort by the Raiders. The Chargers are a really good team. Got a good chance to go on the road in Kansas City. They're playing well, good pass rush. Very curious to see what the Chiefs can do running the football. How can they hold up at the line of scrimmage against the Chargers? That's going to be the key. And it will ultimately, I think, determine who ends up winning the AFC West. So big game there. Detroit will try on Saturday to stay in the playoff race with a win against Chicago at home. I think they'll do it, but still look like to be on the outside looking in. Miami, Buffalo, Miami's holding on in a very scarce way, as is Buffalo. Game is, to me, weather on the road. We saw the big-time snow at Buffalo last week. Forecast this week doesn't look as bad, but we'll see. Miami coming off a big win, like Buffalo at home. Baltimore, Cleveland, we'll see. Hugh Jackson has gotten full support that he's going to be the coach next year. Still think he needs to perform well. His team does down the stretch. Can Baltimore finish and get it done on defense and with a running game to earn that last spot in the playoffs? Minnesota at home against Cincinnati. They take care of business. This Cincinnati team is looking like it's lost in a lot of areas, and changes are coming. I think Minnesota rebounds in a big way. Same with the Saints at home against the Jets. Got to win this game if you're New Orleans. Jets have been pesky. They've played well. I think they've been well coached. They're good on defense. They provide some challenges. Without Josh McCown, where are they going to get the offense? I don't think they do. Saints win at home. Eagles go on the road, take care of business against the Giants. I think they'll run the football, play good defense. But we'll see. How effective can Nick Foles be? How much do they ask him? It's going to be pivotal. Green Bay, Carolina. Yes, Aaron Rodgers is going to play. How well will he play? How healthy is he? I'm hearing different things. Well, he's not 100%. It's a little bit dangerous to be putting him out in there if he's not 100%. And 100%, I mean, is that shoulder, that collarbone 100% healed? If not, a simple fall to the ground, and we're dealing with a Tony Romo situation. Risky, no doubt. I would be more comfortable hearing that, hey, it's fully healed, it's fine. There's no doubt he gives him a chance. Going to be interesting to see how he goes up, how he fares going up against a really good defensive front in Carolina. Jacksonville at home, think they take care of business against Houston. The Rams in Seattle. Seattle at home. Play well at home. Russell Wilson is balling out big time. Can the Rams, who I think are a better, more complete team right now than the Seahawks, can they go on the road and get a big win? Don't know. That's what we're going to see. That's what we're going to find out. New England, Pittsburgh, game of the weekend, game of the day. Boy, these teams are trying to pull it together health-wise. I expect New England to rebound, play well, do a good job on the road, and get it done. But it's a toss-up game. I worry about Pittsburgh's defense and how they're going to handle the combination, check down passes and runs, Gronk, a healthier New England team that's coming off of a loss. Going to be tough here. Pittsburgh's going to have to play considerably better than they have the past couple of weeks, past few weeks. Tennessee going on the road to San Francisco. Tennessee team's not another team that's struggling health-wise. Quarterback's not healthy. I think they're in danger here. I mean, definitely in danger of going on the road to San Francisco, confident Garoppolo team. I think this is a toss-up game. Dallas, Oakland, two teams trying to just hold on barely Sunday night. Don't like the way Oakland's playing. Think Dallas is playing a little better, but they're going on the road. I think it's a toss-up game, game in which really doesn't have a lot of intrigue with neither team likely making the playoffs. And then Atlanta, Tampa. Tampa's just bad in some respects, riding it out. Atlanta goes on the road here, takes care of business. I don't think Atlanta is going to have enough to finish and beat New Orleans next week in New Orleans, but I do think they have enough to beat a Tampa team that just doesn't have anything going for it right now. So that's a brief look. We're going to have the full detailed film room breakdowns on every one of these games on LandryFootball.com, so check that out. For our members. Remember, if you not joined us, you can check us out. And remember that we've got a lot of free stuff. including this podcast, but to get the best information, get inside the college and NFL game, you can try out a membership. You can try it out for a month. See how you like it. Go around, visit, see it. Our best deal going right now is our holiday gift special. Now through the end of December, you get 67% discount, almost 70% discount, $49.99 for an entire year. It'll take you through the rest of the season, all off season, free agency, the draft, recruiting, you name it. We've got that covered for you all next football season. So it's the best deal. Great gift for a family member. Just put it on your credit card, what have you, PayPal. It'll take care of it for you. We'll get them set up, her set up. Give a gift to yourself, whatever you're fancy. Check us out. Spread the word. Appreciate the feedback we get. Please listening. Please support us. Check us out at LandryFootball.com. If you want us to help grow your business, or if you know someone that wants to help grow their business, we can do that for them. So contact us at LandryFootball.com. We'll be glad to help. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next time. Enjoy the football weekend, the bowl game, the big weekend in the NFL. We'll be here to wrap it up for you, break it down on Landry Football Podcast on LandryFootball.com. See you.
To get more of Chris's knowledge, visit and subscribe to LandryFootball.com. You can also find him on Twitter at LandryFootball. This has been Landry Football on Radio Influence.
I'm Jerry Petuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out radioinfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, radioinfluence.com.